I wish you all well. We're having a kind of a strange Sukkot, strange for me, and I think strange for everybody else. We can't go to shul. We can't invite our children and grandchildren. We have to stay with our nuclear family without anywhere to go and any place, anything to do. So it's a little bit difficult. On the other hand, I think we have a chance to appreciate each other a little more. And while in Yerushalayim, the nighttime on Sukkot is usually dedicated to Simchat Beit HaShoeva, we kind of feel the joy directed by different communities. Directed by different communities, and we don't feel that today. So this shiur was titled Simchat Torah Tavshin Pei Aleph. That even though Simchat Torah is a day, Simchat Torah could be every day. Even these days, these difficult days, can be days of Simchat Torah. So I invite you in an extraordinary manner, since there are no Simchat Beit HaShoeva to go to, there's no place to turn around to, there are no parks to visit. Let's learn something together. Let's learn something together which might make this day and this time a little easier, a little more palatable for us. So the psukim that I'm looking at are the psukim in Dvarim Perek Lamed Bet. Dvarim Perek Lamed Bet, the pasuk says, two or three psukim. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh le'mor. That's a pasuk. God spoke to Moshe. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. What's be'etzem hayom? On that very day? On some part of the day? It's kind of a mystery. What's be'etzem hayom hazeh? We'll see how Rashi guides us through be'etzem hayom hazeh. Pasuk Mem Tet, Alei el Har Ha'avarim Hazeh Har Nevo. So we know the name of the mountain that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to when he died was Nevo. And Har Ha'avarim, Avarim is a kind of a pathway, a passage through the mountain that takes you right into Eretz Canaan. So Moshe Rabbeinu went partway up through this passage and then up on Har Nebo, Asher Be'eretz Moab, and that mountain is found in the land of Moab, Asher Al Pnei Yericho, facing the city of Yericho. Yericho is already on the western side of the Jordan River. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, look carefully. You'll see it. It's true that Moshe Rabbeinu was not granted a reprieve from his punishment and was not given the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael, but he was given the opportunity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at Eretz Yisrael. And since Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old, that he would not have lived through the conquest of Eretz Yisrael that was led by Yehoshua ben Nun, it's reasonable to say that in some way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reneged on the punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu was to receive. Because this statement, Ure'ei et Eretz Kenan, Asher Ani Noten Livnei Yisrael, Ure'ei, is still something. It's a conquest of sort. It's a connection without a doubt. I know that sight comes and goes, but it comes. It's there. It differentiates before and after sight. The last word in the pasuk is la'achuza. Achuza meaning B'nai Yisrael are going to go and hold on to it. So it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, you're going to get to see Eretz Kanaan, but you're not going to get achuzah. You're not going to hold on to Eretz Yisrael. And the next pasuk says, Umut Bahar Asher Ata Ale Shama Ole Shama, and you'll die there on that mountain. We are Sevel Amecha, and you'll be collected by your people in the manner, Kasher made, in the manner that Aaron Achicha died, Behor Hahar, Vayeasef El Amar. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told the news, all of the news. You'll get to see Eretz Yisrael. You won't get to grab onto it and hold it. You won't get the feeling of ownership. But you'll die in a special way, in the way that Aaron HaKohen died. These are wonderful psukim, in my opinion, trying to describe, the feeling that Moshe Rabbeinu might have had at this moment, elated on the one hand, knowing that he had accomplished his mission of bringing Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and knowing that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his special traits, would not be the person who brought them into Eretz Yisrael. For Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jordan River was the border between the world that was going to be and the world that never was going to be. Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was to bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, but in fact he brought them to the point where he could look at Eretz Yisrael, and that was it. He couldn't look. There was something, there was a disconnect, even for Moshe Rabbeinu. His dream could not be fulfilled in its entirety. So these are the psukim that represent the end of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu, his achievements, and his inability to achieve perfectly. And so Rashi looks at these psukim, and he wants to teach us something, and we have to look at it very carefully. We have to look at Rashi here very carefully. Rashi says, "B'shloshah mekomot ne'amar be'etzem hayom hazeh." There are three places, I guess, in the Torah, where the Torah says "be'etzem hayom hazeh." There are three places. Again, "B'shloshah mekomot ne'amar." Three different places in the Torah it is said, Be'etzem hayom hazeh. And then Rashi will go on to enumerate those three places. But before we go on, we have to just, you know, like sometimes the technical assessment of things, it makes all the difference. And we can't avoid it. And here what I have to say is Rashi correct? Are there only three places? Well, it doesn't seem so. It doesn't seem so because the Torah says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on the places that are not mentioned by this Rashi. Rashi then continues to mention three places. But there are other places not mentioned by Rashi. Yom HaKippurim and Pesach. They are also done Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh and Shavuot. They all have mitzvot that are done Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on that very day. But you see, Rashi is not talking about mitzvot. Rashi is talking about events, things that happened in our history, things that we know about. Primarily because the Torah tells us about them. They're not mitzvot. Rashi's not talking about mitzvot. Rashi is talking about events that shaped the world. And what are those events? So you look at the Rashi. Ne'emar ben Noach. The first one is about Noach. Hayom hazeh ba Noach. That's what the pasuk says. On this day, Noach came into the teva, came into the ark. B'mar'it orosh yom, in the light of day, meaning that everybody could see it. Everybody could see Noach going into the teva. And so Rashi starts to explain. This is based on a source in the Medrash, but we're going to learn it in Rashi. Lifi shehayu b'nei doro omrim, the people who lived at the time of Noah, well, they said about what was going on. What was going on? Noah was building the teva, and then he told them that God wanted him to go in, and they could all come along with him, but they refused. Bekach, 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 one way or the other. Im anu magishim bo, if we take note of the fact, magishim bo, we can feel him. We can feel Noach acting out this matter. If we see him going into the ark. Ein anu manichim oto likanes bateva. We're not going to let him go into the teva. So it's not written in the Torah, but it's something that's interesting. According to Chazal, the people who lived at the time of Noah, well, why didn't they go with Noah? Chazal said, no, he didn't. They go with Noah. They tried to stop him. They tried to stop him from going into the ark. And floating away. V'lo od, not only are we going to stop him, ano notlim kishilim v'kardomot, we're going to grab hammers and sickles and tools of destruction, right? Other tools of destruction, as we learned once in the 60s, right? Umevak in et ha-tevan, we're going to break apart the ark. We'll break apart the ark. So this is like Chazal filling out the story. I mean, how could it be? What happened? Here's Noah doing something crazy. He's building an ark and he says it's going to rain and the flood is going to do us all in. And then he invites them to come along and they say no. And finally, so what did they do? Chazal said they were an oppositionary force. They're going to stop Noach from going into the teva. We're going to stop him once and for all. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded on behalf of Noach. Areini machniso bechatzi hayom. I'm going to put him, I'll let him go into the teva, into the ark, in the middle of the day, broad daylight. Anybody who has enough power to deny this event, to stop it, let him come along and stop it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you can't stop this. You can't change this. Noach is going into the teva. He will be saved. Everybody else will die. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And that's the first of the three. Shalosha mikomot. This is the first of the three mikomot. The second, the Mitzrayim. We're talking about the exodus from Egypt, Ne'emar. That on that day, on the day with light, the day where you could see On that day, God took them out of Mitzrayim. And what does that mean? What does Yitzhak Mitzrayim have to do with light of day? Lefi, Rashi says, Shayu Mitzrayim Omrim. If the Mitzrayim would say, Bekach, Bekach, one way or the other, Imanu Magishim Bahem, Einamu Manichim Otam Latzeit. If we feel them, if we feel that they are, doing it, Einanu Manichim Otam Latzeit. We're not going to let them out. V'lo od, not only, but even more, Ela'anu notlim sayafot uklezayin. We're going to take swords and weapons, again, weapons of destruction, v'horgim b'hem, and we're going to kill them, or some of them, to frighten them. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, l'fisha yu Yisrael amrim, HaKadosh Baruch Slicha, Hareini Motzian B'chatzi Hayom. I'm going to take them out of Egypt in broad daylight. Everybody's going to see. Mikol b'sheyesh bo koach limchot, yavo v'yimcheh. Whoever can stand up against my will, God said, let him stand. Let him stand up. Obviously, there's no one who could do that. No one could do that. So the two cases, the first two cases are Noach and Yetziat Mitzrayim. The story is similar. They leave, like they're going to leave. The Noach is going to light into the altar, and the people say no, and God says, I'm responsible. I'm making sure they will certainly, Noach will certainly go into the ark. The people will certainly leave Egypt. Those are the two cases. The third case, Rashi says, Afkav. Here as well, here meaning in the case of the death of Moshe, b'mitato shel Moshe, Ne'emar be'etzem hayom hazeh, also. Now, you see that pasuk, if you go back, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh le'mor. And what is it that God said to Moshe Rabbeinu? You're going to die. I want you to go up on the mountain, and you'll die the same way that Aaron HaKohen died. Lefi she'ayu Yisrael omrim b'kach v'kach. People, Bnei Yisrael said, one way or the other, im anu magishim bo, ein anu manichim oto. If we feel that this is happening, that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, we're not going to let that happen. Ein anu manichim oto. We're not going to let him die. And then they go on and they say, Adam shotzi'enu mimitzrayim, the man who took us out of Mitzrayim, v'karalanu et ha'yam, and split the sea, u'bi'idlanu et ha'man, and brought us man in order to have sustenance and be able to continue to exist, v'igizlanu et ha'slav, and brought these birds upon us for meat, and brought us the well, Miriam's well, and brought us it, gave us the Torah. Ein anu manichim oto. We're not going to let him be. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini machniso b'chatzi hayom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to bring him in, bring him to heaven, bring him to his death in the light of day. Everybody can see that that happened. I think it's fairly clear that the three cases don't seem to form a kind of unit. You'd expect all three cases to be the same. But case number one of Noah, good guys, bad guys. The bad guys are taking a stand against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu beats them down. Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Egyptians are the bad guys. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're not going to be able to stop this. But the third case seems to me to be a little different. After all, it's about B'nai Yisrael wanting to maintain the leadership, to maintain the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they recognize the fact that the greatest miracles of the desert were brought into the world, into their world, through Moshe Rabbeinu. And they don't want Moshe Rabbeinu to leave. So Noach and Yitziat Mitzrayim, they're good guys and bad guys. But in the third case, even though they're taking a stand against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said has to happen, but they're doing it for a better reason. They want the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. They know that Yehoshua ben Nun is not Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Yehoshua ben Nun turned out to be a great leader, a great general, but not a great Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua ben Nun did not give us the Torah. He did not make it accessible to us. He did not make it possible in the desert because of Yehoshua ben Nun. That was all done according to the talents, abilities of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what it says. That's what it says if you look. We look just quickly at the Psukim. Noach. The Pasuk Adah was Bereshit Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Be'etzem ha-yom hazeh ba-Noach v'shem v'cham ha-yefet b'no v'eshet Noach u'shloshet d'shei b'na v'itam el ha-teva. That was Be'etzem ha-yom hazeh. On the day that light clarified things, everybody saw what was happening. Noach, his sons, his daughters-in-law, all of them came into the Teva. Rashi, there, in Bereshit, explains Be'etzav Ayom Hazeh, Lemetcha Ad Katuv Shayu B'nei Dorah Omrim. The Pasuk teaches us that the people in the generation of Noach would say, Ilu Anu Ro'im Oto Nichnas LaTeva. If we see him going into this ark, Anu shovrim ota, v'hargim oto. We'll break it apart. We'll break that apart. V'hargim oto. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, Ani machniso le'enei kulam. I'll bring him into the ark with everybody watching. Nir'eh davar mi yakum. So Rashi in Bereshit says again the same thing about Noach and Be'etzav Ayom Hazeh that he said in our pasuk at the end of Dvarim. The second case is Yitziat Mitzrayim, Shmot Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph Nun Aleph Slicha. Vayi Be'etzav Ayom Hazeh Osi Hashem on that very day. On that very day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Al Tzivotam, on their various armies. Here Rashi does not comment. Rashi does not comment. It's very hard for us to know why Rashi would comment in one of the three cases. Well, I mean, the third case he comments, that's his major comment. The first case is the case of Noach, that he also comments. But by Yitziat Mitzrayim, Rashi does not comment. But we now know the three Be'etzam Ayom Hazeh. We know three Be'etzam Ayom Hazeh. We asked at the beginning, is it true that there are only three? Aren't there more than three? Aren't there more than three? So yes, there are more than three. There's the Mila of Avraham. I mean, I won't go through the psukim, but you could do it on your own. The Mila of Avraham, Pesach, Shavuos, right? Mila of Avraham, Pesach, Shavuos. So that produced like a second question. And the second question is, why doesn't the Torah say Betzalel Yomaseh about Sukkot? So in order to answer all of these questions, I'd like to make a distinction between the Torah telling me that there's a mitzvah that I have to perform. I have to circumcise my son. I have to eat a matzah on Pesach, bring a korban Pesach. Right, that's a mitzvah. The mitzvah at a certain time of the year recurs again and again and again. Every time that date comes up, I have to say, do the mitzvah. Every time the date comes up, I have to do the mitzvah. But there's another kind of piece of information that the Torah gives us. And that piece of information is contained in these three cases. In the case of Noah, in the case of Yetziat Mitzrayim, and in the case of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. None of these three cases is connected to a mitzvah, but they are connected to cosmic turmoil. Cosmic turmoil. After all, you know that the story of Noah comes to tell us that the world was recreated. That the world that was created for Adam HaRishon, for the first man and his wife Chava, that world just could not be maintained. It could not be maintained because people were unable to live up to that standard. Adam HaRishon, one mitzvah, don't eat that fruit. He couldn't do it. He couldn't hold on. Somehow he couldn't figure out a way to maintain that standard, and so the world had to be recreated. And it was created in the guise of Noah. Noah became the first man. And when he was the first man, when he, Noah, was the first man, the first thing he did was sin. The first thing he did was deny his own sanity and his own ability to follow the rules. First thing that he did. So that even though Noah was saved, but you have to remember he was saved to be Adam HaRishon Ot Pam, a second try. Or maybe it's because it's the way the Torah tells us that evil, or that the inability to achieve moral perfection, that inability is built into the Torah. Not that we can't achieve it, but it's going to be really difficult. That's Noah. Noah represents the difficulty of moral perfection, and that difficulty is kind of built into creation. I can't tell you why, but it would seem that it was important that man achieve more and more of moral perfection. It was important. So the story of Noah is about a change in creation. It's not about Adam and Chava, but about Adam and Eve. But it's about Noah and his family. And Noah and his family became the beginning, the new beginning. Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim shaped Am Yisrael. Before Yitziat Mitzrayim, before they experienced the event of Yitziat Mitzrayim, they could always be enslaved. After all, slavery doesn't have a single definition, but it produces a singular lack. A lack of enterprise, a lack of achievement, a lack of a group that is knows where it's going and what it's doing. Slavery could not produce the people who were set to receive the Torah. Only freedom could do that, because freedom implies that the decision-making process is somehow yours. I mean, that's what freedom is. So when the Egyptians saw that they were gaining freedom, that the Jews were gaining freedom out of Egypt, it wasn't just that they were losing slaves. But they saw, they perceived, they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the possibility for the acceptance of Torah in the world. And that was not something that the Egyptians were happy about. They had their own ideas about God. They had their own ideas about how things run in the world. They were, after all, the people who never prayed. They were the people who didn't have to pray because they had a source of water that always irrigated the fields. And prayer is essentially about prayer is essentially, as Rashi says, prayer is about making things grow. It's the other side of creation. God created the world, but we needed prayer in order to get the world going. Rashi. So the people in Egypt understood that Yitziat Mitzrayim, that the exodus of Egypt was a force that they had to stand up against. Stand up against. Noah was a force that was going to change the way the world was, the way evil in the world was being treated, the way people would have to respond to various events in their own world. So, Noach is the first story, Yitziat Mitzrayim is the second story. What's the third story? The third story is about Moshe Rabbeinu. And Bnei Yisrael turned to God and they said, look, we live in a perfect world. You have a shiloh. You know, the Sukkot is a time when a lot of people have shilohs. They asked to be this year. You know, if you don't go to shul, what do you do? What do you daven? What don't you daven? I mean, shaila is endlessly. So everybody has to find a rabbi who he trusts. What does that mean, to trust the rabbi? Because, well, you know, it's a simple thing. If I am obligated to do as God wants me to do, sometimes I need somebody who will help me and tell me what God wants me to do. This is a remarkable leap to think that somebody might know the answer to that question, but we've lived with that for the last 3,000 years since Moshe Rabbeinu died. And so the people came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, we want Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu's answers were perfect. We always knew that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught us something, we always knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was right, that somehow he represented clearly, clearly represented God's will. And if we don't have that, we're just going to disappear. We're going to fall apart. I mean, what sort of, how could we continue? How could we continue to live? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. What does no mean? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the people in the time of Noah, you can't do it. What's going to happen? There'll be a new world. The people in the time of Noah didn't want a new world. They liked the old world. They were stealing and they were bribery. They were doing bribery and running all sorts of illicit businesses. So they liked that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you may like it, but you're not going to get it. You see, at Mitzrayim, there people said, we don't want independent religious thinking. We don't want the people who can accept the Torah because it's the Torah. We don't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. That's what Yitziat Mitzrayim really means. It's a step on the way to receiving the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who is going to give life to the Torah. Remember, Yitro came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Navolti bo, what are you doing sitting around all day and all night answering questions? You're going to die. And when you die, there won't be a Moshe Rabbeinu. If there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole thing will die because everybody will say, how do you know? Who told you? So the people came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, we want Moshe Rabbeinu, we need Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, the Torah will live even though Moshe Rabbeinu will die. The Torah will live because the question of like how you want to define it, but what the point is that the judges of that generation, that the Torah personalities who give us life, those people will somehow be able to take up the mantle of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, I can't point to them. And the Torah doesn't say, even though Yoshua ben Nun is called in the first pasuk of Yoshua, Eved Hashem, just as Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem, but Yoshua ben Nun, as I said before, is not associated with the clarity that you need for Torah psak. Yoshua ben Nun is a different kind of person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Bnei Yisrael, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. But the determination of halakha is not going to die. That's going to continue. So we started off today and we said, the pasuk ve'edaber Hashem el Moshe be'etzem hayom hazeh le'emor. Etzem hayom hazeh seems to be some kind of light, some kind of understanding. That there are three times, Rashi says, there are three times when Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh represent this kind of understanding. And I would say that the three times that we're talking about are major changes in the way we understand the world that God created. Noach, a new world, a world in which the expectation of the expectation of goodness has gone down, but the possibility of goodness has gone up. Yitziat Mitzrayim is when the people are being created, the people are being created to accept the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents the continuation, the continued acceptance of the demands and the adherence of the Torah, demands of the Torah and the adherence to the Torah. And that even though Moshe Rabbeinu would disappear, he personally would disappear, he would go up to Har Nebo and die in the same way that Aaron, his brother, died. Nevertheless, we will continue. We will continue to be the ones who accept the Torah, who believe in the Torah, and who accept the unwritten law of the Torah, which we call Torah Sheba Al Peh. Okay. I hope there's some food for thought. And I hope we'll be able to continue Parashat Bereishit next week, on Wednesday. This year, which was called Simchat Torah, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Eira Al Motosha Moshe Rabbeinu, is in memory of Dr. Chuck Feldman, Zichrono Livracha. All the best to you. Have a wonderful Moadim L'Simcha, Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach. All the best.